Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, if you want more from us, then please do consider checking out Red Men Plus as a club legend. That is the top tier that gets you extra perks and benefits, access to our exclusive club legend Discord chat. It will also give you free merchandise every year and a whole host of bonus features. Get involved on our club legends show. You can be on a show with the cast and crew of Red Men TV every week and a whole host of extra bonus perks, as well as all the usual brilliant videos and podcasts. Go to redmenplus.com and sign up as a club legend. Hello everyone, it is apparently Jano Insight. It's the match build-up show. I'm Paul Machin. Hold on, sorry. I'm joined in the studio by Dan Club, John Machin, and by Simon Fletcher as well, who is frantically changing the image on the television between us. I will talk over that for a moment while we Hey, welcome to the Match Build-Up Show. I am Paul Machin, Dan Club, John Machin join me in the studio for this one. It's going to be Liverpool travelling down to the Emirates to face Arsenal this weekend.
That was just like when I got robbed in Disneyland and they took me behind the scenes and all the guys had their heads off and smoking in the corner. Pluto with no head smoking.
It's exactly the same as that. Exactly that. We've just seen the Wizard of Oz in what he really looks like just there, and it's a very panicky sigh changing TV remotes. Right, Sal, before we dive into the show, you will have seen we are very tantalizingly close to 500,000 subscribers. So if you enjoy our content, whether that's on podcast or anywhere, whether you're on Twitter or whether you're here on YouTube right now, click that subscribe button. Click the notification bell as well if you really want to be notified when we do go live so you don't miss all of our live stream shows. But yeah, we've got major plans coming up when we hit that big 500,000, and you can make that happen sooner rather than later. So get involved. It costs nothing but a moment of your time to give weeks of satisfaction to yourselves, to us, and everyone who consumes Red Men content. So yeah, do it right now. Dad, hi. We had a very brief chat before we started filming. We've not seen each other since the Rangers game. Are you feeling just better in general about life, football, everything after the Rangers?
Yeah, because, I mean, the whole of media was full of, isn't Trent terrible?
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing else. It was just wall-to-wall criticism of this poor kid. And we've had none of that, have we, since it's all calmed down. Sky haven't had a documentary about it or anything since. It's just been lovely and pleasant.
It's been a Trent Alexander-Arnold, Jordan Henderson loving by comparison. BT were very keen to praise both players, which is nice that there's a bit of light and shade to everything. You know, it's easy to jump on bandwagons, you know, when you're looking to lambast a footballer, it's far easier to find things that they're getting wrong, particularly footballers who try stuff in football matches. No one's going to sit here and say that either of those players have had their best seasons for Liverpool so far. They absolutely haven't. But to that point, Liverpool went and got a win. The players who had been struggling played well. We looked like we were controlling a football match, which made it that we were creating chances in front of goal. It was just... a very positive step to make us all feel better about our football team.
Yeah, definitely. And these were, you mentioned Henderson and Trent there, they weren't just good performances given what's been going on in the context. They were good performances in their own right. Like, yeah, they were very high quality operators
in that game. And I think that's really important to remember. Like you mentioned there, Trent has been getting a lot of stick and so has Jordan Henderson. But like I say, these weren't just, oh, they were better, weren't they? These were top quality level displays. And you could say that about a lot of the players. But I think we spoke obviously earlier in the week in the build-up to the Rangers game, and it was kind of a little bit like, oh, we just need the result, but I needed the performance. And I think I got that, because you're right, we did control large parts of the game, created a lot of chances. Yes, we didn't actually score from open play, which I said off air shocked me, because it just felt like we must have.
Yeah.
But it was just a lot more pleasing to see all around.
Yeah, no, I agree with that one. And it's interesting because I'd done a preview for this game on Tuesday morning with Deluda Guna, which you can check out on YouTube. Really good guy, really good channel. And I was obviously a bit more down in the dumps about everything. So I was kind of like, well, my mood for the Arsenal game was one of trepidation a bit. That, you know, because you can't help but look at how good they've been so far this season. We have had their number for a while, which we'll discuss. But, you know, if we'd gone in with anything less than a win, you'd be feeling a little bit like absolutely no chance. And look, it's Rangers. It's one win. We've had a couple of false dawns already so far this season. But I do feel as though Liverpool have got a greater chance of having a grip on this for that simple 2-0 win in the week.
Yeah, and it goes back again to media coverage. There's no what's wrong with Liverpool headlines.
Yeah.
You know, what can Liverpool possibly do? All sorts of nobodies sort of coming out of the woodwork saying, this is what they have to do.
Yeah.
And you think to yourself, no, that's not what they have to do at all. My opinion's totally different to that. And that's all it was. There's loads of people's different opinions about what was going on. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't even just that it was a good win, a good performance. There were some brave decisions made in that lineup.
Yeah.
You know, leaving Fabinho out, who needed leaving out.
Yeah.
But actually to make the decision, leave him on the bench. You know, those kind of things, when you look at them, you think, yeah, we're certainly on the move.
Well, you can go two ways, I think, in situations. I think back to 2009, 2010. So Liverpool don't win the league. And Rafa Benitez, and we start terribly. And everything we're trying to do is undercut, and it never quite kind of levels itself out. Post-Christmas, Benitez decides, I've got to go back to basics here. Going back to basics for Benitez was to go back to being really defensive, and that actually ended up losing a lot of the fans as well, because not only we were still weren't playing brilliantly, we weren't picking up loads of points, but we were playing crap football. The bravery, I think, to go, we're going to write this by going even more attacking. Like, that could blow up in your face in a big way, but it actually, in some regards, it ended up playing into the strengths of all the fit and available players that we had.
Yeah, and although, you know, as you say, it was more attacking, it was also better defensively.
Yeah.
You know, because Trent suddenly had cover whenever he went forward, and it's not part of our play normally to do that. But there we were, making sure we covered for fullbacks who were going up the field.
Yeah.
And we were so much better for it. Everyone was much more relaxed. We didn't have any mad scrambles. So right at the end, we had a couple of little flurries. Mm. But until then, it was one of the most relaxing games I've seen at Anfield for ages.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing we've been clamouring for. I've said this for like three or four of these now, just a win. Just win a game of football. Like, this isn't going to be that, you know, away at the Emirates. I don't think, or it'd be a bit wishful thinking, I think, to expect that from Liverpool in this game. But, you know, a lot of it is just about not dreading the football turning up. And we've tried one game a week, and when you're crap, you're having to stew on it for a week. Or at least, you know, we're now trying the let's play a game every 3.3 days and see how we handle that. Well, we've done the first step. We know we've got Ibrox to come in the midweek. Then we've got Man City to follow. Mm. This next three games is going to tell us a lot, you know, and we'll discuss lineups and we'll discuss formations in part two, Dan. But moreover, in this one, the confidence has got to be there, and we've got to buy in, because as my dad said there, the amount of deep thought pieces on everything that's going wrong with Liverpool, we've been the crisis club. Mm-hmm. If we can get a win here, I mean, it just pushes all that on. That'll go on to someone else. All of a sudden, it'll be Spurs.
Yeah.
Or it'll be back to Man United again. Or, heaven forbid, Man City actually, you know, don't have Erling Haaland score 50 goals. You know what I mean? It might be that. I doubt it. But, you know, that's one of the other things you're kind of playing for. You to push that, grab that spotlight. It's like the bat signal. Just push it over to another football club.
100%. Because everyone, even now, like, everyone's kind of expecting Liverpool to click into gear and it do start working. And your dad said, right, like the conversations have already started shifting slightly. Like it's Tottenham kind of under the microscope now, isn't it? Especially after their draw in Europe last night. Everyone's thinking, are they all that? You know what I mean? Yeah. So it is an interesting one. I think, I know Jurgen Klopp isn't necessarily bothered by that sort of thing, but it is bound to affect the squad and the individual players. And
well, they're all mentioning it.
Of course. Talking about it. And Trent, quite clearly, you could see in his celebration the other night, he knew what was going on around the media circus and what it was. He knew that. So you're dead right. And if all of a sudden we do kind of restore order and become the side we've been over the past few years, all of a sudden everyone will kind of go, oh, Liverpool are back. But that won't be a story in any way, shape, or form. It'll just be off they go again. If we beat Arsenal, that is, of course, which would be massive in itself. It's a huge statement. We'll see it as that, especially the way we're playing. But I believe that everyone else's narrative would be like, okay, Arsenal aren't all that. Liverpool, here we go again.
Yeah, no, 100%. And look, let's have a little chat about Arsenal, top of the league at the moment, 21 points from 8. The only drop point has come against Manchester United at Old Trafford, where they kind of capitulated a little bit, which is an encouraging thing. Although they did for large portions, like I think it's under Sol. I thought they were good in that match, Dad. You mentioned it before. We've got a good record against them. In fact, of our last five, it's four wins, a draw. We scored 11 and conceded 0 to them in the last five against them. Obviously, we played them twice in the League Cup in that as well. I think there's plenty for encouragement there, and it's interesting when, you know, Dan, you've just spoken to Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV, you know, and I, again, speaking to the Ludo Goon and myself, they're quite fearful of us because we've kind of put that into them of late, but they'll be relishing the task, and I think in some regards, I'm hopeful that that's a good thing for us.
It's the same. It's the old, this is how we test ourselves game, isn't it, for them?
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're a different animal to what we've played in recent years. I mean, Jesus, I mean, arguably the signing of the season, forgetting about Haaland,
who
probably is not going to make a great deal of difference to City.
Still going
to
win football overall. Matches.
They're still going to win the league and they're still going to score 100 goals.
Yeah.
You know, it's only marginal what he's going to do then. They're probably thinking he'll make more difference in the Champions League.
Yeah.
But, you know, so Jesus has made such a difference to that side. They're suddenly dangerous.
Yeah.
They've got young players who are suddenly on top of their game. Martinelli no longer looks like a lost soul, you know, playing out on the wing on his own. And Saka suddenly is fulfilling his potential. And even bloody Xhaka actually looks good.
Turned the corner, massively,
I saw some stat, and I'm paraphrasing, so it's not a stat more than just a general like sentence about like him being up there for the most touches inside the opposition penalty area, Granit Xhaka, this season, because he's just been told by, don't worry too much about having to be bad at tackling, be better to do more things on the ball, get into more dangerous areas and stuff. So fascinating to see from them. The thing they've got going for them as well, and we're talking about us restoring the good vibes, Dan, that's one thing I note about Arsenal, and one thing that I don't begrudge, because I know quite a few Arsenal fans, you know, from working in the YouTube sort of space and whatever. I've no great love for Arsenal particularly. You know, I'm old enough to remember the 1989, so it's hard to have a great love for another football club, but one that robbed the title from you at Anfield. But they've been through the mill, and that London thing, that like constant banter and constant stick, and Arsenal being a bit of a laughing stock. It's a really good football club. They've now got a good manager. They've got a progressive manager. They've got good players, young players. They look like they're enjoying it as well. It actually looks like it's quite good fun being an Arsenal fan again. And that's kind of how I know them. That late 90s, early noughties Arsenal team was a vibe, and it looks like this one is too.
Well, without kind of preempting what could or couldn't be for Arsenal next week, it's something we enjoyed with Klopp, isn't it? Like he brought that back to us, essentially. You know, it took a little while. We were a little bit all over the place for periods where we didn't quite have the players that we wanted, but all of a sudden it became fun again.
Yeah.
And obviously people deride the West Brom draw and all that sort of stuff, but that's part of what Klopp brought to us. He brought us all together and he took us along for the ride. And Arteta's doing something similar there. Like, they've been criticised in many ways for their celebrations after some victories, haven't they, recently? And I don't mind it at all. I think if you're going to go on a journey, then that's the way to do it. You need your fans involved, and you're right, he's got
Richard
really...
Keys, though, wasn't it? He was not beds of the game.
He is 100%. Yeah, I would never take his word for anything, quite frankly. But at the same time, there's been other people as well. And you just think, again, I don't mind it. I think if you've got something good going, go with it. And they've got good young players, like you say, they've bought really well. Jesus, like you said, John, brilliant. Zinchenko, brilliant. Thomas Partey, when he's fit, is a quality player. He's freed up Xhaka. So these are a different beast going into this game. And more than their actual quality of football, it's how, like, the stick that's been used to beat Arsenal with for many years is their resilience. Even in the latter days of Wenger's era, yeah, it was, are they tough enough? When they go 1-0 down, have they got it within themselves to come back? That's what they need to be tested on. That's what will test them this weekend. If we, especially with our record against them, like we've all said, like our record against them, even there, is brilliant. The game last year, I was at the game last year, really even. We scored, capitulated, blew them away.
Yeah.
That could be the case on Sunday. It'd be interesting to see how they react if we get on top.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. And one thing that might play into our favour, obviously we're doing this live Thursday afternoon. They play tonight against Bodo Glimt in the Europa League as well. So two less days to recover ahead of the game. I mean, it's Europa League group stages. They, if they're not rotating heavily for that, then Arteta's getting it wrong, because you should be able to walk out of Europa League groups without having to play all your big guns. But hopefully, I mean, we'll see what the depth of their squad is like, because that's an issue. That's the one hanging criticism that has been, has yet to be proven or unproven, but we're hoping to be the case, is that they've got a quality first 11 there. We mentioned a lot of the names. They've got a couple of lads beyond that, but have they got real depth to challenge on multiple fronts? We'll have to see. And obviously the answer, hopefully, is no. Beginning from the weekend, they can beat Bodo Glimt all over the place, as far as I'm concerned.
We're yet to find out how they cope after a defeat as well.
Yeah.
You know, if we beat them, does that mean they'll, their heads will go down? Or will they be able to get themselves back up?
After
the Old Trafford game, I thought, oh, here we go. But no, they got back up and they, you know.
The difference is, just to say, sorry to interrupt, the difference is in that game, is like you touched on, they were really good in that game. So maybe there was a little bit of, yeah, we got beat, but what a performance.
Yeah.
Arteta could spin it that way almost, you know what I mean? So there wasn't the heads down, here we go again element, you know.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And it starts to spell a pattern out. If you know, if you lose, if you can lose to Liverpool and you've lost to Man United, then and that happens to a lot of teams. That's the difference between being a title challenging team and again a top four team. Is there's a couple of different ways to crack that top four when you're on the way up. I don't even sure I did this on the other day, but you tend to, in your early days, you tend to engineer wins against your big rivals. First season, Klopp going to the Etihad and beating Man City being an example of that. And then you lose that along the way, but you learn how to be a bit of a flat track bully. But then you put the whole package together when you're ready to challenge and you beat absolutely basically everyone.
Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to know where they're at. And that's why, as you say, it's a good test for them. It's a good test for us. We need to see where Liverpool are back up and running again. And they need to know whether they've got what it takes to really be title challengers, because they should be. And
They probably should have found that out when they played Tottenham, but they didn't, because Tottenham got someone sent off.
Yeah.
They can't be sure
that
they would have beaten them.
Absolutely.
You know.
But yeah, fingers crossed it plays into Liverpool's hands anyway. A little bit of overwork won't hurt us in that regard, certainly. Right, cool. We're going to have a little break, but we have got a sponsor from BetMate this week. I'm going to be picking our teams in part two, but a little update on how it went. So we moved it from last weekend's game. We didn't have to cover Brighton. We did it for Rangers in midweek. So let's have a little look at what the league table is looking like between me, Steve and Chris. Yes, you see it. Hello, power shift. I have gone top of the BetMate Redmen TV table. 268 points on the season so far. Pajak still leading the Money League on 45 quid. Redmen guest still in third, but very, very tight at the top there. And then Stay is very much down in the lonely fourth place position. Just 255 points so far, miles away.
Popping it up down there.
Propping up the table. Stay is crap. and we need to make sure everyone is aware of that. The Redmen guests this week, Dan and my dad, John Major, will be picking their BetMate team for the Liverpool Arsenal game. Make sure you get involved. If you want to download the app ahead of time, then do that. And we can play along with us live later on in the show or after the fact. You can do what you want. The link will be in the description. Right, trivia question before we have our short break. Name the three players to play for Rafa Benitez at Liverpool that also played for Arsenal. Answer after this.
Are you a fan of the content we produce here in podcast form? Do you love Reb Men goodness in your ears on a regular occasion? Do you want to know more on and off the field info about Liverpool Football Club? Get closer to the culture of the city and the club? Well, you can do. Reb Men Plus podcasts are now available to subscribe to on Spotify. Yes, we are taking the podcast section from Reb Men Plus and making it available as a standalone subscription here on Spotify, so you don't need to jump over. You can continue to listen to all of our content in the Spotify app. It is available for £5 and you get full access to all of those shows each and every week and a whole host of extra content as well.
As I quite clearly asked before the break, namely two players to play for Rafa Benitez at Liverpool that have also played for Arsenal. Dan?
Yeah, Yossi Benyoun. Yes. And Jermaine Pennant.
And Jermaine Pennant. Well done.
Are you sure he played for them? Didn't play much for us, did he?
Yeah. if you got that right, well done. Give yourself a huge pat on the back and drop a like on the video as well, because you've earned it. Well done. Right, Sal, let's talk injuries for Liverpool before we dive into some of the big decisions facing the manager this week. What we've seen is players on the return. This will be three build-up shows on the bounce now. We've been able to mention Calvin Ramsey as an actual living footballer. We don't know where he's at. We don't know how close he is to this one.
I don't even know what he looks like.
Yeah, barely. He seems quite happy. I've seen him post about being involved and stuff, which is great.
Yeah.
He's not going to come into contention for the side. I think whilst we've got, if Konate's likely to be, again, closer to available on this one, I think that in a world where you've got Konate and Gomez, you don't need Calvin Ramsey on the bench for the Arsenal game.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think there's any possibility that we see him at the weekend, to be honest. As much as that's a shame, because I think we all want to see him play football and see
what he's like.
See what he's all about, quite frankly.
Derby, you'll see him.
Derby, that's the game I had in mind as well. Yeah, I think he'd get 90 minutes in that game. It'd be nice to see him for some minutes before then, but then when you look at the fixtures, you think Rangers away, Ibrox, everything that entails, and then City at home, you don't envisage it being possible really for Ramsey, do you? But the options are coming back on.
Unless we play nine at the back against City.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. The options are there now, which is nice to see anyway.
Yeah, definitely. We're actually in the most favourable injury situation we've pretty much been, since the season began. Ox and Cater remain ruled out, although we've been told October is when they'll be expected to come back. So, hey, here we are. Welcome to October. Ox and Cater could
say
not be
what
back.
Year, though, did it?
Nice. Yeah. They'll be doing that from the free transfer list if it's anything other than October 2022. Andy Robertson's still out for this one. Hopefully he'll be. He's apparently on the September 30th, Klopp said he's already out on the pitch running, which is a good sign. Doesn't know whether he'll return next week or the week after. So he's a little ways away for Andy Robertson. And Kurt Jones, no one really knows what's going on with Kurt. It was encouraging to see him sat on the behind the bench at the against Rangers in the midweek, of course, alongside Naby Keita. But it means that everyone else is up for grabs, really, and to a certain degree. I guess we'll start in terms of big questions. We've mentioned it already, Dad. I'm caught. Let's say, do we stick with 4-4-2 to give it the Klopp? But in realistic terms, do we stick with 4-2-4? There's one thing to do it at home to Rangers in the Champions League. There's another to go to top of the table Arsenal at the Emirates.
I think you'll stick with that. I think it'll be more 4-2-3-1 than 4-2-4.
Yeah.
I think it'll be much more steady and a bit safer. The only big question for me is Fabinho. Does he come back in or, do we rest him a bit longer because he probably needs it, to be honest. Needs a bit more.
Yeah, well, Scott Hawks sent us a $25 super chat in. Thank you, Scott, as always, you wonderful, wonderful human being. I know it seems counterintuitive, but playing the 4-2-4 just seems more solid. Main thing I want to see is Trent played as the best right-back in the world rather than a roaming inside right midfielder / number 10. And that's a point that we didn't quite touch upon. Dad mentioned having cover for him, yes, but I think that's one thing that we definitely did. We didn't ask him to maraud anywhere near as much. The lads, the six who were left to defend, there was some crossover. You did see Costas get forward. You did see Trent get forward, Thiago Hendo, etc. But Trent was allowed to do his business from areas he's far more comfortable in, not
playing, not moving into the number nine position at pace.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? It was a strange sort of dynamic with how that game panned out, because you're right, and John's right, that in terms of Trent did have more cover and we did seem more defensively stable, despite that not really looking the case when you look at it on paper. You should feel that's all that attack almost, and Trent's going to be exposed even more, but it didn't pan out like that at all. He was allowed just to do his brilliant right back things, wasn't he? I wonder how much of that was down to having space ahead of him, in terms of the fact he didn't really run into that space that much, but all he could see was Salah, and him and Salah just linked up brilliantly all night, like the balls in behind. It was like it was just uncomplicated for him because there was no one in front in terms of that right side of midfielder, really.
Yeah.
He didn't have to worry too much. He just saw stuff more naturally, and it's an interesting balance.
Well, it's interesting as well because tactically it asks a different question of their DM as well, because if you've nominally not got a guy playing in that area of the field, what is he to do? Because a lot of what it did, weirdly, was it cleared up passing lanes to Liverpool for Trent in particular, because as much as you can see Trent, you can see Jota and Nunes as well, you know, from that. And normally the front man's really got to peel off. But when the front man peels off, you're then left with no one in that position. Whereas actually what Liverpool can do is in midweek.
Jota's very good at taking up all those spaces.
Yeah, exactly. Jota can come off the front line and take that and still leave someone.
Thiago and Henderson had more room to manoeuvre, and they were able to cut off those lines through our midfield that where we were getting attacked by everyone under the sun. And it made us much more solid, strangely.
It's weird.
Exactly, because we've been so weak, that sort of left-hand channel, but also quite basically through the middle of the team because of how much the centre-halves are being pulled. And
centre-halves had a much easier game. I mean, I know, you know, we played Arsenal, they'll get much more of a going over, but they had more time on the ball. They were able to cover properly, you know. No one was getting isolated, you know, at all on the back four. And the number of times this season when one defender has been totally isolated, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's two talking points in terms of selection for this one, and we'll start with the one that you've already touched on there, that the Fabinho thing. Jordan Henderson had a great game. The fact that he gets taken off as well to get a little bit of rest up again, albeit Fabinho comes in. You can't say, well, Thiago doesn't play particularly in these big games. If it's a two-man midfield, what do you think Klopp will go with Fabinho?
I think he'll go with Henderson. I think the extra pace is going to be crucial. You know, I mean, Fabinho is a bit sluggish, isn't he, to be honest? On his day, you know, brilliant defensive midfield player, but slightly off his game, then you just start to notice he lacks a little bit of pace. You know, doesn't get it quite at the flow. And Arsenal are so fast.
I suppose the counter thing to this is you're playing a better team with better players, particularly through the middle. I mean, Arsenal have got some great quality. We've already mentioned Partey, but, you know, Odegaard's
great player
as well. And having Fabinho, on paper, it's more stable for Fabinho. Not the Fabinho that's been playing this season, who I just has really struggled to just get to things. But I can see on paper that it would be more sensible to go Fabinho over Henderson. But
last season, you'd have said you're not going into this game without Fabinho. Yeah. It's just 100%.
Suicide. Yeah. And I said that early season when it was going to Old Trafford and stuff. I was like, you can't name a side at Old Trafford without Fabinho in it, because I think he's so important to us. But we're in the same situation again, whereby we are discussing him. And I think if we go with a two in midfield, he isn't part of that. But I actually believe we'll revert to type. I think it might come down to training in terms of this, because Klopp obviously has clearly seen something that isn't right and he's gone, we need to change it. But I think for a game away at Arsenal this magnitude, I can see him reverting back to 4-3-3. But if he doesn't, like I say, I think you're right. I think Fabinho hasn't been on it at all, and I think it's got to be Henderson, Thiago in the two. But Fabinho on his A game, it's more his reading of stuff. He makes up for that lack of pace by being there before everyone else, but he hasn't done that at all this year.
Yeah, and again, aggression, physicality in the middle of the park, he's just more robust than Jordan Henderson in that, you know. And look, Thiago does that big time. He's probably our most aggressive.
He probably outperforms himself in terms of that, doesn't he? Because even when he wins headers and tackles, you almost look at it and go, that's not you. You're like a cultured genius. Yeah. You're not the man, but he does it. You know what I mean?
He does, in a big way. And it's whether we want to allow Fabinho the opportunity to rehabilitate his form, because he needs to, because he's world class. And everyone else has had that chance.
I guess if we go back to 4-3-3, then the fullbacks have got to sit a lot more than they have done this season. And that would mean that you know, Fabinho hasn't got to run all over the place chasing.
I just wonder whether this, because I do kind of agree. We talked about the 4-2-4 thing. I'd be excited to see it. I'd like to see it tested against a really good team. Yeah. But I would also be like not flabbergasted, not shocked or anything. But I would be surprised if we don't go back to 4-3-3. You know, or a more 4-3-3.
It would probably mean Nunez being on the bench, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And I've got no problem. I mean, that'll lead us on to our next sort of selection question around Firmino. But it's that thing of, do you go? Because our understanding is it will be Fabinho, Thiago Henderson in midfield for this, because it's a big game and that's what we know that we will likely go to. But is that too big a step back from what we've just been to? And is there an option there to maybe go, I don't know, put Harvey back in and have him be, again, that sort of bridgehead between the two? But then that makes it more 4-2-3-1 than it is 4-3-3, maybe.
You're getting Trent isolated again. And I mean, and they're, you know, they've got Martinelli on the left who, you know, totally destroyed that side of our defence last time we played them.
This is where ultimately where Jürgen ends the big books. But let's do the Bobby chat. Again, I think it's easier for Firmino to come back in if it's four up front, because there's just more positions to play in, you know. He's the inform man in terms of goal scoring, Dan. Yeah. You know, he certainly earned the place in the side. And having seen him come off the bench against Rangers, I could see how he could quite easily fit into that exact system with all those guys around him.
Yeah.
But it would be a question of, does he come in for Jota? And so it's just he does what Jota did, except with maybe 10 yards deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you bring him in for Nunes, and then you've got that to bring on as a sub later on in the game.
It's a really interesting one, the Firmino one. Like, he's up, clearly his form suggests that he should start regardless of formation. I don't think he will. I think he'll start if it's a four, like you said, a four up front, because I think he's the perfect man for that tip of the diamond sort of 10 role, because obviously he offers that defensive stability that Jota doesn't really. Jota's position, his movement is outstanding, but Firmino will do the hard yards, if you like, and he'll track back and he'll win the ball off your Thomas Partey, your Odegaards, etc. He'll do that really well, and that might be sort of the middle ground for Klopp in terms of, he doesn't quite go to the 4-3-3, but he just goes 4-2-4 with Firmino. That's kind of where I'm falling on it. But like I say, there's definitely an argument to say that he deserves to start the game regardless. His form's brilliant. His record against Arsenal's outstanding, but as is Jota's.
Yes.
So it's a difficult one.
That's the thing, the cat amongst the pigeons thing about midweek, that is, I'd be perfectly happy now that we've got the players, we've got back fit, and actually not just back fit, because I'm hoping this was the lingering issue with Brighton was, like, Jota, Nunes and Diaz all weren't fit enough to play 90 minutes after the back of internationals, and Hendo was just coming back from injury, so he couldn't be chucked in either. If it hadn't been for how good the game had been against Rangers, I'd be saying this team kind of picks itself. It's 4-3-3. We know that it's going to be the older lads in midfield, and I'd be picking Jota as the centre of the attacking three with Diaz and Salah. I think the team would be largely that. But
I mean, you've got to also think about the future in a way. You've got to get Nunez up to speed, and you've got to get Jota up to speed. I mean, he's nowhere near the goal scoring threat he normally is yet. So how do you balance getting those minutes into them?
Well, is this a thing with Firmino where Firmino's done really well to score all those goals, but maybe there's a case of, if Jota had just been playing those games, you'd be talking about a guy on double the amount?
Jota, yeah. Proper Jota, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Bobby Firmino, he's been our best player this season by miles. I think he's been absolutely sensational. But again, it's horses for courses, and it does depend on your formation and whether you want to keep Nunez in the side to really get him off the ground. Because if that kid gets running and he starts scoring goals every week, then we're a different animal again.
Yeah, no, I do think that's a possibility. Look, I mean, the good thing is five subs, and now that you've got options on the bench to change football matches, there's nothing wrong with starting this in 4-3-3 or the other way around, and seeing how the game pans out for you. At the minute, 4-3-3 was weirdly, as we said, it feels less solid, even though that's 4-4-2. Been the formation.
Let's play 4-4-2.
Well, no, but that's what Klopp's been calling it, hasn't he? So he'll be. But that's the thing about 4-2-4 is, I don't really want Salah playing right midfield and Diaz playing left midfield. But that's a game state thing. That's just about how the game's going, and you can easily just ask them to drop in. And Brendan Rodgers famously did that going away to the Emirates. Jordan Henderson has an absolute barnstormer of a game in that. Suarez basically plays in midfield in that to make sure that we've got numbers in to be solid. I don't know whether we'll compromise our attacking intent that way, but if the game is going a little bit, you need to have a little bit more stability. Salah and Diaz are more than happy to work.
The other thing is, it might be the first game for a while when we could actually press, because Arsenal are not going to sit back.
No.
You know, so finally we might have a chance to actually press someone.
Yeah, and that's why the thing on the 4-3-3, I know people will already be super sweet on 4-2-4, and that'll be like 4-3-3 is all of a sudden the dead formation. It's not. I just do wonder whether this, where we know how to play against Arsenal and we know how to play against Manchester City, and that's why I said it wouldn't surprise me to see us revert to that, because it might just be that this other formation is who we play against the other 15 or 14 teams, type teams that we're going to go up against.
And maybe eventually we'll play it as our sort of carte blanche. That'll be us. You know what I mean? But I just don't think we're there yet. I think this isn't what they worked on in pre-season. This is kind of off the cuff.
He said he'd only train once with it.
Exactly. And he's not going to train once with it, maybe twice this week, and then take it into Arsenal away, top of the Premier League. He might do it. I might be completely wrong. But the likelihood is he doesn't do that. And the same with City. The likelihood is he reverts the type, and we just see 4-2-4, 4-2-3-1 incrementally throughout the season until eventually it may well become the way we play.
Yeah. And I've mentioned this in a couple of places, but when we won the title and when we won the Champions League, we had two or three formations that we used during the season. We played the vast majority, the lion's share of games, 4-3-3, but we would go to Bournemouth away with Mo Salah playing centre forward in more of a 4-2-3-1. We would finish games in 4-2-3-1. We went away to West Ham, played a 4-2-2-2. You know, and we had a couple of different ways of doing things. We'll have to see how this sort of pans out. I'm kind of cool either way, to be perfectly honest. My only concern is if two concerns over changing formation is, have you basically is it like Space Jam style? This is the magic juice that's gotten used up and running. Do the players then go, oh God, we're going back to that shaky formation again to not play this? But also, there's a thing when you change formations and you're not properly up to speed in that, you lose something, and you can get away with that against lesser teams. But when you're playing against a well-drilled side, you need to counteract that with being up really, really into what you're doing as well. That's my slight fear on that. And I can't help but have the Brendan Rodgers paces in his kitchen and comes up with 3-4-3, and then it works for a couple of months and then it's shit again because we don't know how to dig ourselves out of a formation we're not familiar with.
The worry about going back to 4-3-3 is, if our defence is going to be the shambles that it's been all season because we've gone back to 4-3-3, then Arsenal and Man City are the two teams you would least want to face.
Yeah.
So, you know, does he play safety first, or does he think, oh, now they're over it, now they can do, you know, go back to being good?
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's it. And it's about the midfield for me, and it's about who's available and how much you're being asked of them. And for me, 4-3-3 is it's the elite formation. It's the team that you aspire. It's the formation you aspire to get to. And you can do variations on it. City's 4-3-3, wildly different to Liverpool's 4-3-3. But in broad strokes, 4-2-3-1 feels like the formation of the team on the way there. And 4-2-4 feels like a fucking Hail Mary of a formation, if I'm being honest. One that, like Brendan Rodgers' midfield diamond, there's a reason you don't play that, is because you lose the midfield, and often if you lose the midfield, you lose the football match.
Yeah, I think the main point here is whatever formation we play, we've got to play it better than we have done all season. Just to say on the 4-3, you are dead right on the 4-3-3. Like, is there a little bit of back of the mind thinking, oh, here we go again, we're not very good with this formation, why are we going back to this? Like, we've got to be markedly better than we have been, regardless of what formation we go into the game.
It's just, are we good enough to play 4-3-3 is my kind of point on this, because we have been. But it's that thing of, you know, are the legs there in the midfield? If we need to be a high-intensity, high-press engine in midfield, can Jordan Henderson, Fabinho do that? I don't think there's any question.
It's the midfield where we've been falling down, because they haven't been protecting the defence at all.
Yeah.
You know, and they desperately need to, because, you know, four guys on their own with a high line, they're just cannon
sitting duck, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's an interesting one. If you're watching live, let us know in the live comments. If you're watching after the fact, use the comments. If you want to chat to us about anything, you can tweet us at the Redmen TV or email interact@theredmentv.com. Any deep long thoughts that you want to get out to us.
Small details are big surfaces. tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Right, we're going to be picking our BetMate team, or the guests will be, I should say. We're also going to be picking our Liverpool 11, and we're going to look at the other fixtures around the Premier League still to come. But let's crack on with BetMate. So there's a slight change to things this week. It is the Arsenal versus Liverpool part of you. Go ahead, guys. Get it up and running. The pot has been boosted to £1,000 for a £5 entry. Change the promo code this week only to REDMEN10. So if you sign up as a new user, capital letters REDMEN and the number 1010, any new user who signs up and plays a paid pot will receive £10 in free bets. So you can join up that one and you'll basically be able to enter like two of the £5 entry leagues moving forward or whatever. But yeah, get involved. Use that code when you sign up. The link is in the description. There's a QR code on screen right now. So yes, for those of you unfamiliar with the concept, you have to pick a team. You have to pick 7 starting players, 4 substitutes. You can only have a max of 6 of your on the field starting 7 from one club. So we could pick 6 Liverpool players, but we'd have to pick an Arsenal player to round that out. And then the bench would have to be all Arsenal players as well. As we've seen already, the guest team has been going quite well so far this season. Let's start it. Alisson or Ramsdale?
This is the most difficult one I've done all season.
I would go Ramsdale.
Okay. Reasoning?
We're not scoring any goals.
Right, sad. Okay.
And
can't argue with that.
Oh, wow. And Dad, I look forward to your score prediction later on.
Although having said that, I'm going to flip that and say we're going to have loads of shots and loads of action, so he's going to be dead busy.
He is a very busy goalkeeper.
I'm very busy anyway, so I'm okay with that because he'll be making loads of saves and picking the ball out of his net and stuff.
Going Ramsdale in goal.
Ramsdale, wow. Okay. And then
now you can have all sorts of nice players outfield.
That's a good point, actually. So defenders, are we going to stick with... Trent is obviously an oft-used call. Is he back so that he...
I wouldn't leave Trent out of any fantasy.
He scored his one free kick for the next 6 months. No, I would go with Trent always because of his assists.
He's a points machine in this sort of thing normally.
Yeah. Okay, partner then, at the back.
Is Zinchenko in doubt? Saliba.
We played the other day, didn't he? I think for the first time in a while.
Not going to see Ramsey, are we? I think another fullback. So is either Simicat or Zinchenko?
I would go Zinchenko.
Okay. Okay, so we've now.
This is already
two Arsenal players, the one Liverpool player.
They're
going to
be attacking more than we are, I think.
So. Into the midfield.
Well, we've got a problem with Fabinho for a start. We don't even know if he's going to play.
No, I think we ignore Fabinho.
Do the drop down and change it to the 5-week average, and let's just see who's accrued the most points in the midfield so far.
There you go.
So top midfield points in so far. Granit Xhaka, although obviously he scores in the week, doesn't he? So that's definitely Carvalho's up there, which is crazy because, again, big isolated point situation. What's telling about this is, tackles and interceptions. So the midweek, I got 14, but I captained Thiago, but I got 14 points off Thiago because of a couple of interceptions and tackles that he made.
Yeah.
You know, he did 3 big slides in that game, didn't he?
Yeah, so, and John Lundstrom, how did he do for you?
Not as good.
I'd be happy to go Odegaard and perhaps a Henderson.
Okay. Does the skipper even start this game?
I think he starts. I've got a good feeling about Henderson after midweek.
Yeah, you can change your teams up to kickoff as well, by the way, if you want to change your teams then, as it goes on.
Up front.
Oh, Firmino, look at them points. Bobby Firmino. Wow.
But will he play?
But will he play?
He always go with Salah.
So Salah
he's not been getting any points, but it's about time he did. And
it's got to be one of them, hasn't it, probably?
Jesus or Diaz.
I'd like to go Diaz.
Okay.
Diaz.
Diaz feels like the kind of player who scores against Arsenal.
Yeah, he does. And we haven't even got Jota or Firmino in there whose records are good. But the selection thing is the issue there. Okay, I'll fill it out.
Okay, cool. Let's pad out the bench. We've got some Liverpool players on the bench.
First time.
Goes on the bench.
Virgil van Dijk.
Mentioned, you can get involved by scanning the QR code that's on screen if you want to, if you listen to this elsewhere after the fact or whatever. You can use the link in the description underneath. Yeah. Do use code REDMEN10 if you're a new user to get £10 free bets when you join a paid pot. And do make sure that you're 18 plus if you want to get involved with this. Be gamble aware. Don't get involved. It is, there is obviously gamble involved in all this kind of thing. If you've got issues with that, then don't. It's meant to be a bit of fun. It's not meant to be a life-changing thing. We're having a great laugh with it, particularly because I'm top of the league. And long may that continue. Okay, so just want to just quickly talk us through your finalised team then, Dan.
Through this?
Yep.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so Ramsdale in goal, Trent, Zinchenko, and then Odegaard and Henderson. I need to change them captains, otherwise I'll do a U.
Yeah.
Mohamed Salah and Luis Diaz, and then the bench is Alisson, Van Dijk, Thomas Partey, and Gabriel Jesus.
Very good. Just to be clear on this point, by the way, I got more points last week than Steve and Chris with my Lundstrom vice Thiago captain decision. Yeah, right. So just saying not to be
maybe
that.
Leave it.
Maybe yeah. Leave it. Okay, cool.
It actually says a lot about Arsenal, doesn't it? That you would include a lot of their players in any side you pick.
There's also a degree, I think, of like anti-jinxing a touch here. I've done this. I've got a couple of Arsenal players in my team. In fact, have we got the teams that everyone's picked, Si? So I've gone with Alisson, Van Dijk and Gabriel. I've gone for Granit Xhaka and Fabinho in midfield. I feel like I might have picked this ahead of Rangers. I've got Salah and Diogo Jota up front. Salah captain, Diogo is vice. Moving on, Steve has gone for Alisson, Ben White and Trent, Thiago and Odegaard, Roberto Firmino and Gabriel Jesus, Bobby captain, Jesus vice, and Chrissy Pajak, Alisson, Trent, Van Dijk is vice, Martin Odegaard and Jordan Henderson in midfield, captain Salah alongside Gabriel Martinelli. So probably the most differentiation we've had between teams ever on this, which I think to your point speaks to the quality of Arsenal right now. Definitely something to be watchful of.
Martinelli is a good choice, actually.
Again, you put your team in, lock it in, and then you can always make a change up. Right, I think it's about 15 minutes, let's say half an hour for the sake of argument.
I think it's 5 minutes
before. Point is, that's well after the team actually comes out.
Game closes Sunday 16:25.
There you go, 5 minutes before kickoff. Brilliant, well done. I should know that as the host, but thank you so much. Right, let's pick our 11s. We know what our seven is. What's your 11 for this one, Dad? What formation are you playing and who's playing?
I think it will be almost exactly the same as Rangers, apart from Bobby Firmino in place of Nunez.
Okay.
Yeah, just to say, I really like that. I think if we stick with the formation, that is it. But I would go 4-3-3. I'd be Alisson, Trent, Matip, Van Dijk, Tsimikas, Fabinho back in with Henderson, Thiago, that fabled midfield that we all did love at one point.
Yeah.
And then I would be Salah, Diaz with Diogo Jota in the middle.
Yep, I can't argue with that, to be honest. I think the only slight possibility, I think from what we know, Liverpool will definitely go with the back four that we know. There's a outside chance that maybe Konate comes in for Matip, but I haven't not kicked the ball really yet. I think that'd be a bit much.
Playing well as well, Matip, isn't it?
Yeah, there's that. I think it will most likely be Fabinho, Thiago, Hendo, and then I would suggest Diaz, Jota, Salah.
Mm-hmm.
However, I do just wonder on that thing of just being a bit more, because as much as we talked about that as our best midfield three, how many games has that been our best midfield in? I still feel it is. I thought that there are three best actual footballers in midfield, and obviously
the balance of availability.
But when we, you know, we went to away to City in the league, and obviously drew, and they just had just more going on than we did with Bernardo Silva and De Bruyne in midfield.
De Bruyne running through us.
Yeah. When we went to the FA Cup semi final, Keita starts instead of Henderson, and we're much better for it. And I wonder whether this is one of those where Hendo does the 30 this week for this game. So Fabinho gets 60, Hendo will come on for him later on in the game, and Harvey Elliott maybe starts in the midfield three, and that then is a little bit closer to, it's not a huge removal from what we did in midweek, because you're still asking Elliott to get up, and again you're asking Thiago and Fabinho to not overcommit. Mm-hmm. They're still your cover for your fullbacks. It's more 4-2-3-1-ish, as just kind of said before, or it's a 4-2-1-3. Maybe as that, but and the alternative is Firmino again, as you say, instead of that. But I honestly don't know. Wow.
Well, and Arteta doesn't know either.
Yes,
so that's a good thing.
Nice. I agree on that. Definitely do. Right, let's have another little look. Let's have a look for the first time today at the Premier League fixtures from the weekend. Upcoming Newcastle, Brentford is Saturday 3:00. Bournemouth, Leicester, City, Southampton. I was very tempted in general FPL terms to triple captain Erling Haaland for this, but I'm also, because I'm a loser, I am holding hope that Southampton, who should be dead and buried and are rubbish and Hasenhüttl is on his last legs, just do what they occasionally do and stun City into silence.
9-0.
Yeah. Chelsea host Wolves. It should be 3 points for Chelsea given the upheaval at Wolves, of course. Brighton host Tottenham. That's a fascinating game. I'd really like Brighton to just go and take points off another good top four challenging team.
They're good enough to.
Yeah.
You're 100%.
West Ham Fulham is 2:00 on Sunday. 2:00 on Sunday as well is Crystal Palace hosting Leeds United. I've forgotten Leeds United are even in the Premier League, to be honest. I've just not thought about them at all as an entity this season. Obviously, our game is 4:30 on the Sunday. There is a 7:00 kickoff on Sunday evening.
Just bizarre.
Everton host Manchester United, and then Forest are back with another Midlandsy clash on a Monday. They've got Aston Villa as well, which is...
Yeah, that Everton time is old, so they can all the Man United supporters and all the Everton supporters can go to church first.
Oh, right.
Make sure they all get gone before they go
to church.
Rather than alcohol.
Yeah, definitely. That'll be exactly the one. But that's the Everton United game is mad. That's a mad one.
Crazy
to see
time.
Because I wouldn't put it past United to drop points a game, because I think that's their level this season. They'll have a run of 5 or 6 good results, and then they'll lose a mad one, and they won't be able to figure out why it is, and it's because they're not the best team in the world, and they always struggle to fathom that out. Frankie Lampard's going all right at the moment at the Ev.
Mm-hmm.
It's a battle of the ex-Liverpool coaches on the Monday night. Steve Cooper fighting for his life against Villa. Gerrard's up shit creek if he doesn't win this game, and Steve Cooper's up shit creek if he doesn't win this game.
Yeah, it was El Sacco last Monday, wasn't it?
Yeah, they could both be, but
you do tend to feel there was all the Rafa Benitez talk, wasn't there, after Forrest got a hammering on Monday about them, and you do tend to feel like they both desperately need a result. Like, it's a 6-pointer in managerial terms and in relegation terms in many respects, certainly from Forrest's perspective. But yeah, another big game for both managers there.
Yeah, absolutely. I did see the Benitez thing. Something nice about Rafa back managing the Reds with European Cups in the trophy cabinet. Somehow fits. But yeah, I just kind of want Steve Cooper to succeed, but obviously
I like him.
Also not at the expense of Steven Gerrard, which I might have to put to
bed
at some point.
It's a strange thing to do, to buy so many players.
Well, they had like 500 players on loan last season, didn't he? So it was like, it's a strange management situation, but it goes to speak, it's got a very like Chelsea vibe where, you know, they make sweeping changes in the first half of the season, it goes wrong, they sack the manager, some guy who's not as good a manager or not as integrated or not as liked, I am Di Matteo or Benitez or whatever, will come in, just find a stable way of playing and sweep up. But yeah, I feel a bit sorry for Cooper, because what's he meant to do? He's bought an entire teams.
You don't
teams
even
for
know
the
whether he bought them. Though.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. He should have a lot of credit in the bank, really, though, given where they were this time last year, and he comes in about this time last year and just absolutely skyrockets them up the league. But that isn't the way football, and particularly the Premier League, works necessarily.
Well, and that's the thing, is I've had to field a couple of questions about Klopp and Klopp's future and blah, 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 because it's just... it's like people don't have any actual real thoughts, feelings, or conversations. There's just like stock things that have to be said when, and the like conversations triggered by certain results in football. So you've got to question the manager after X amount of results, like natural. Well, of course, his job's up for grabs. It's like, probably shouldn't be. They should probably just let him like actually work out the names of all his footballers before they worry about anything else. But they have obviously spunked a load of cash, and if they go down, then that's another issue altogether. Anyway, right, score prediction. Liverpool travel to Arsenal. Dad?
2-1 to Liverpool.
Yeah, I'll match that. 2-1 Liverpool.
I'll take a 3-1 to Liverpool. I really don't know how it's going to go. I would like us very much to get the first goal in this one. But obviously, we haven't got a great track record of that ahead so far this season. I'd like it to be one of those games where we do just get a little bit of control and it forces Arteta to do something a bit weird because he's got that in him.
Also, Arsenal-Liverpool games have a tendency sometimes to go mad and it ends up 4-3 or something.
Yeah,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed it's 3-4 if that's the case. Okay, cool. Loads of content for you guys, for your eyes and ears available, whether you just want free stuff on YouTube and Spotify, you know, Acast and all that kind of stuff. Klopp's press conference will be available on Friday. If you want to go deeper on that press conference, Chloe has got the press conference reaction show, which is up on Red Men Plus. We've also got an Oppo preview, which Dan did with Robbie from AFTV.
Yeah, superb. Really well. I'd recommend everybody check it out. It was really good.
Amazing. There'll be a little clip from that going out on the YouTube. So, and if you want the full thing, then get over to redmenplus.com. There is a watch along this Sunday. It is me and Chloe in the studio for that one. You're going down to the game.
I am.
Gutted about that. I finally got a ticket for the Emirates. I've been waiting all this time. And then Chris and Steve have butted off because the NFL. I mean, what the fuck?
I'm in your camp on that front, by the way. Yeah, but
it's a sport. I get it, and people like it. Like, but honestly, look, it's Chris's daughter's birthday. I'll let him off with that. Like, but Steve. I mean, it worked out fine for you.
Yeah, good for me, mate. Looking forward to it.
Keep your eyes peeled on the socials as well around that, so that'll be at the ground. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed it. Hope you're all feeling better about life. Hopefully Liverpool can continue those feelings beyond the weekend and into next week at least. But anyway, thank you to John Machin. Thank you to Dan Club. And thank you to everyone who's joined us live in the YouTube chat as well. You guys are all absolutely fantastic. I'm just doing a double check. I've not missed any super chats. I haven't. Get in. Right, see us all very soon.
Lost content and podcasts just like this. Go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.